Joe Earth and I are starting a podcast. What should we call it?
Hey, don't pick on me. You know why? Because this is why. Let's see what he says.
The Joe Show?
Give Joe the business?
That's right.
Cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe.
What is happening here?
Would you listen?
We'll give you a chance.
Thank you.
That's Joe.
That's Rooster.
And this is the Together We Shall podcast, episode 40. I know you love the even number. I know you love it.
I do. I do like it. And I like it that I can mess up my hands again, because, like, you couldn't do that with 39. That was...
Yeah. That's really whack. You need, like, an advanced degree in sign language and something to that effect. 39. I don't know if I'm going to try that. What's happening in down there, man, here in this latter part of August 2023?
Oh man, it's hot. You know, I guess they're saying it's hot all over, but it's freaking hot down here right now. But summer's over. I mean, for us, essentially, right? Boys are back in school now, full time.
Yeah, that's Leanne's. Probably already started because she had to get in there before the kids, and then the kids. So, what grades are the kids in now?
Owen's and. This kindergarten, and Weston's in, it's still daycare, but they call it like pre-K 3. It's like his last step before like legitimate pre-K. Weston is in pre-K. That's what he's in.
The reason that I asked that question, knowing exactly how old both of those boys are, was to see how you answered that. As it applied to Weston's grade, and you played right into my hand. You were like, "Ah, da da! It's pre." So, what is it again? What grade is Weston in?
They call it like the school calls it like pre-K 3 or so or 1. I forget how the numerical system works, but it's pre-K.
For all our military listeners out there, it's kind of like the Navy rank structure. Yeah, as you go up in rank, the number gets lower anyway. Petty officer, third class, second class, first class.
Yeah.
Like, so confused. Anyway,
yeah,
man.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's fun. We do not have kids that are attending school. As everyone knows, Briley graduated college and is now getting ready. She bought her France tickets, dude. She bought them literally 2 days ago.
Yeah.
She's going to Paris on 25 September. Isn't that cool?
Petty. That's very cool. And I guess I beg to differ about, I'm sure you were going to mention it, right, about like a kid in school. But I mean, my dad always said like he went to the University of Paris Island. So like Camden went to the University of Cape May.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I appreciate that. I guess I've never thought of boot camp as school in any way, shape, or form. Although I know Camden will go to school next. I just never thought of that. But yeah, I can appreciate the University of Paris Island.
It's an educational institution, right? Boot camp?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I don't have any children that are attending. I don't have any kids attending, you know, the private, public school system these days, but nevertheless, so we're pumped though. We did get our second letter today from Camden, which is just great. And of course, every week the companies they graduate and the junior companies get to march in the parades, which is something we didn't get to do. And we didn't even dream of that in the Marine Corps. But so I just literally an hour ago was zooming in and pausing and screen capturing and found him again. There he is. I'm like, Laura, here it is. And we got the letters. And, at the risk of violating HIPAA, the dude literally wrote us a letter that we got today, and he's like, on a napkin. I love it that it's on a napkin. It says, I'm currently laying in a bed in medical. And, you know, we're like, whoa, medical, no. And it says, they took my wisdom teeth out. Did you remember recruits that got their wisdom teeth out in boot camp, dude?
We all know, like, this kid had a letter that said, like, don't yell at him for, like, a day. But yeah, he was doing push-ups and just blood. I was like, oh man, this is not right. This is not good. Not good. Okay. And you know what's so what's funny is like we always say like this is a live, exciting thing like the podcast, right? And so like a few minutes ago I mentioned, you know, the kids being back in school, but apparently not because one snuck in. So the timestamp thing was thrown off. So I need to figure out if the house is burning down real quick. And I apologize.
Well, while you do that, I was going to tell our guests. I'll get our guests in here. Let's just get our guests in here while you do that.
Right.
This week we have Laura and Peggy, and they're both Dr. Laura and Dr. Peggy and Aunt Laura and Aunt Peggy, and they have a lot of different names, and they've been around our family for, almost 2 decades, decade and a half, which is really just really cool. But we are stoked to have them on the show. So without further ado, hello, Peggy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm outstanding, and maybe better than Joe, as he's putting his son back to watch Home Alone the movie while he's home alone. Hello, Dr. Laura. How are you?
Good. Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I remember the first time I called her Dr. Laura, she just didn't like that. She's like, wait, what are you doing? She just didn't know how to respond to that. And now Peggy refers to you as Dr. Laura all the time. And so I'm like, cool, I can do that now. Anyway, we're great. So Joe, we always like to ask our guests, and I guess Laura, you can go first. Where are you coming from? Meaning, where are you right now? And why do you think you're on episode 40 of the Together We Shall podcast?
Coming to you from Stavanger, Norway. And I think I'm on the podcast because I have been around since Ainsley's Angels inception and met, so a decade and a half is a little bit of a stretch, but 2010 was when we all met.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I'll come back to the decade and a half thing in just a second here. Hello, Peggy. Where are you coming to us from? And why do you think you're on episode 40 of the Together We Shall podcast with Dr. Laura?
Well, I'm here in Virginia Beach, and I think I'm with Dr. Laura because she used to be my physical therapy student. And I love her very much, and I'm glad she's here.
Right back.
It's like,
no, that's perfect. So the whole decade and a half ago is, and why you're both here and why the timing is just perfect, is because a decade and a half ago, literally in August of 2008, is the very first time that a physical therapist named Peggy said you should take your daughter down to the local oceanfront, for there is an organization called Team Hoyt Virginia Beach that's just getting started, and the Surfers Healing 5K is this weekend. That is the significance of the timing. So a decade and a half ago, that conversation happened. And here we are. I'm going to go tomorrow morning, actually, and run the 15th anniversary of Ainsley's first race down on the oceanfront. So I thought it'd be neat to have both of you join us for this episode and maybe talk about that and all the things that have happened since then. So, Peggy, what do you remember about 15 years ago this week?
I remember this like it was yesterday. We knew how much Ainsley liked breezes and wind, and this seemed like a perfect fit for her, and convinced you to come, told Rooster he could run along on the boardwalk because it was a free boardwalk, even though he didn't have a number and wasn't in the race, actually. But I remember her coming back from that race, and I remember her smiling. And I would say she smiled for 30 minutes after that race. And I can see it just like it was yesterday.
Yeah, pretty wild. Pretty wild 15 years ago. And we've talked about the fact that I was a bandit during that race. And for all the listeners that don't know what that is, it's a person who runs a race or buy a race without a race bib. But to my defense, once again, I didn't even know what those numbers were, Peggy. I had no idea. But nevertheless, so that's really just cool, man. And just to kind of think about that recommendation from a physical therapist, you know, so many years ago, and what that sparked. Ainsley and my family's involvement with Team Hoyt Virginia Beach, and then eventually getting Dick and Rick's blessings to go forth and spread this mission in what we call Ainsley's Angels of America, that's now, you know, reaching over 30,000 people in multiple states and all over the world, frankly. We ship chairs to, I think we're up to almost a dozen countries that we've shipped chairs to. Just amazing. All because Peggy had this grand idea. And Peggy, do you know that there's people that think that you should have introduced Ainsley not to running, but to something else? What is it, Joe? Some other sport?
So, yes. So, bowling. There is a backstory to that. I don't know if, and it's days like typically Surfers Healing. That's rather warm, right? Or, you know, Marine Corps Marathon, Louisiana Marathon, where it can be a little chilly. So Tracy David, you know, and wee hours of cold mornings always goes, why couldn't Ainsley do bowling, you know? And so Peggy, maybe the next time you recommend a, you know, an athletic event to a student, you recommend bowling instead of running.
I'm going to write that down right now, Joe.
Bowling. Say what's really neat though, is about the donating chairs. Like you said, this is also our first podcast with an international guest. So we are an international podcast. Yay. Write that down.
Write that down, Laura. We are an international podcast coming to you from the caves of Norway, which is a whole nother joke. So you said that, and yes, listeners, you heard it correct. Laura is in Norway. She's a military family, a military spouse, and that's where the government has them these days. But way before Norway, you were here in Virginia. You went to college. Gosh, I want to say it was JMU, but it could have been something else. And now I'm going to feel bad. But you pursued physical therapy and eventually you met Peggy. What attracted you, Laura, to go into this field that is physical therapy?
So when we were in Virginia, my senior year of high school, lived in Vienna, Virginia. My dad was at the Pentagon or Navy Yard at that point. And he was helping our neighbor move this gigantic 1,000-pound machine, milling machine, and it fell on top of him. And so he shattered his pelvis, basically. And so he had to go through very extensive rehab. He lived in a 3-story townhouse at the time, and he could only live on the bottom floor for months. He was obviously very fortunate to be alive, and he had to go through extensive rehab. And I thought, like, I think I could do that. Like, this is a cool job. My dad's walking again and he can go up and down the stairs. And then actually when I came home for a summer from JMU, you were correct. I volunteered at one of the local clinics there, and I was like, yeah, I think this is what God has for me. I think I could be good at this. So that, and I went to George Washington for PT school. So I stayed pretty local. So it was cool that I got to go do my final internship in Virginia Beach and live with my parents. And it was my longest one. It was 12 weeks. So then I met Peggy in January of 2010.
So Peggy, she shows up in January of 2010, you know, this collegiate, you know, college student whose dad's in the Navy and she's, you know, living in Virginia Beach. Like, what are first impressions?
I was actually really excited to meet her because I hadn't had a student in a little while. We had decided that we were going to meet at Maui Wowie, which used to be a smoothie place. And we drove to it and it was gone. It had disappeared. And I was like, oh my God, this poor girl thinks I'm a complete idiot because I don't know that the store is closed. And I think that actually worked in our favor because it was kind of a funny thing that we laughed about for 12 weeks. But what she didn't mention was that she was training for her first half or whole marathon.
Yeah, I did the full, yeah.
The entire 12 weeks, she told me, I will never do this again. This is absolutely miserable. I hate running. For 12 weeks, she told me that. Now look at her.
Well, no, it's fun. Well, Joe wants to talk about that restaurant, I think. Joe?
Well, there is a lot to talk about right now. But the first thing is the restaurant, Maui Wowie. I don't know when we would want to do Miller Time, but I'm going to actually be the one to call it this time because I have a Kona Brewing Company beer. And part of the reason for this has nothing to do with Maui Wowie or the situation in Maui. But as I was looking at all my beer options today, because it's Friday afternoon, I saw that and I was like, oh, that's good, because Laura used to always say rad. And I felt like that is a beer that like could relate to like rad. So that's my terrible introduction to Miller Time, but I do enjoy this beverage.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Joe has dialed up Miller time. It's that part in the show that everybody grabs their favorite beverage, sits back and relaxes with it. And if you're tube fed, Josh, looking at you, you need to reach back and tell somebody to hook you up and or hit that button so you can join us. So with that, I'm going to go with the Starburst Cherry Beta Power C4. There's no sugar. I don't need any judging about, oh my God, that's sugar. But this thing is superhuman performance is what it says on the very long can. So we're going to see how that goes. Superhuman performance. Yeah, I'll just leave that right there. Peggy, what do you have, Peggy?
I have something I stole from your refrigerator, Rooster. Sparkling ice grape raspberry. And it's delicious. So thank you very much.
Oh, yes. You're most welcome. Joe?
So you took that from his refrigerator. So I'm going to connect some dots for fun and say that you are at Rooster's house.
Not only at my house, she's in the Finish Line store.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're hearing this right now, we're giving you a discount. 25% off anything in the Ainsley's Angels Finish Line store apparel line. Just use the code podcast and you'll get 25% off. We'll let this thing run for about a week or so. So hop in and do that. Laura, what are you drinking from the caves of Norway on a Friday night?
Good old water with some noon, with a noon tablet, because I have a race on Sunday and it's been a while since I've done a race.
So that's the perfect comment to take us back to your thing about, I will never do another. I'm not doing this anymore. So if you said it right, Peggy, that was January 2010. Which is around the time that I believe I was introduced to Laura. Peggy's like, hey, I'm going to bring my student, and she's going to come and do one of the races. So, Laura, what do you remember about the day that we got a chance to run together with Ainsley?
Man, that was cool. I remember getting a Team Hoyt Virginia Beach tank top that was way too short and like I was pulling it the whole time. But I remember... because I had only seen Ainsley at the clinic and, you know, I do remember our sessions with her, and I believe Camden was actually at a lot of them. He was so little, but, it was a really nice day. It was beautiful. And we did a 5K, right? It wasn't super long. And it was fun, and we were chatting the whole time, and Ainsley was smiling a ton. That was the most I had seen her smile. And I remember Peggy telling me that, because maybe at some point we can talk about the first time that Peggy and I actually talked about Ainsley too. That is, I remember very vividly. But I just remember it was fun, and you were like, do you want to do this again? And I was like, well, yeah, like I'm moving to South Carolina actually, but I'll come back to Virginia Beach for the rock and roll. Sure. Like that would be, yeah, I can do that.
So not only was it, hey, let's do that, you want to do this again, but we're like, hey, well, why don't you come back and run a half marathon in September on Team Ainsley for her very first half marathon. And you were all in, and yeah, one of the few people on the very first Team Ainsley team that did like these half marathons, and we will get to the marathon distance in a minute. But I did want to say, like, I'm intrigued. I want to hear where you're going with this first time y'all talked about Ainsley.
I remember it so well, because every time I've listened to the podcast, I've thought like more has come up. And then even listening to Lori talk about, you know, times where she felt not like she wasn't herself and, you know, things like that. Man, Lori always looked perfect and just like so put together and strong. She's picking up Ainsley like it's nothing. And so anyway, I've thought about this a lot. And Peggy and I, since we could not meet at Maui Wowie, we drove over to Starbucks, and she is going through the list of all of the kids that she has on her caseload. And she's telling me all of their diagnoses. And I'm a student, so I'm a little intimidated still. I haven't had a pediatric internship yet. And then she comes to Ainsley's, and it says infantile neuroaxonal dystrophy. And I was so scared. I said, I don't know what this is. She said, You wouldn't know that because there are, I think at that point, maybe single digit amount of kids in the country that had it. And oh, wow. But I just remember her saying, okay. And then she told me a little bit about how she was functioning, but I just remember being so terrified to tell her, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear. It's a story I've never heard before, and Peggy probably can recollect parts of it now. But did you know how terrified, you know, Laura was to admit that she didn't know this diagnosis?
No, but I wanted her to understand that we don't expect students to know everything. And I always hope that I come off like, it's okay if you don't know this, because that's why you're here. You know, but no, she looks cool under pressure. You know, she handled it well, but yeah, no, I didn't realize that she was that terrified. It was just me, Laura.
I didn't know you yet though. I didn't know how cool Peggy was quite yet. Another like baby student moment where I was like, I'm going to fail. I don't remember what we were doing with her. I think we were putting her on the big, huge ball and just kind of rolling her around.
Right.
But I picked her up because I think you said, okay, I think we're going to move her to the mat. I picked her up and her head went back. Okay. And I was like, and Lori said, oh, it's okay. Mom gives her whiplash pretty often. She said it calmly.
Laura, you were talking about Lori picking Ainsley up, and I remember a couple times, like, she just came in and was like, and like, she had really long hair at times, right? And it was like a damn jump rope. And I remember one point, I forget who, well, not who, but what, when, where, why, how, I was like, hey, do you want me to do that? And like, it reminded me of the scene in Wedding Crashers where the grandma's like, I can do it myself, asshole. Like, she was like, no, I'm the mom. I was like, okay, only Lori picks up Ainsley. Only Rooster runs with Ainsley. Cool. Now I am aware.
She made it look easy.
Yeah. I was over there. It was just like, it was, I feel like it was just Rooster, Lori, me, and Ainsley. I don't know where anyone else was or whatever. And Ainsley was on the ground, you know, resting or whatever. And I was downstairs in the recliner. I don't know where Rooster went, but Lori was like getting ready, taking a shower. And Ainsley had the vest on, the vibrating vest, loosen everything up vest. And it like started beeping. And I was like, where the fuck is everybody at? I don't know what to do. And I came up out of the recliner. I'm like just low battery. Like, I don't know what this means. And Lori comes down, her hair's in the towel, and she like shakes it, hits this, and I'm like, well, I could have done that. But it was just like, for some reason, I always picture Lori just like having it all together though. Like, she like mid mascara or whatever stroke, like heard the sound, just doo doo doo, like calm as day. Meanwhile, I'm the guy like that's like panicking, like as like the bomb squad, like 10, 9, I'm the panicking one. And then like the other person's like, dude, just cut the blue wire. I'm like, hey, no, it's the blue one. That's how I feel sometimes. The first time that I knew of Ainsley's diagnosis wasn't from Rooster or Lori. It was from another Marine. We were in the same office, and it was like softball season, right? So like Rossiter clan came out to a game. That's when I saw Ainsley like the next day at work. Yeah, I don't remember what I said, but I was probably like, hey, bro, like, what's up with the daughter? He was like, she's got IDAD. And I was like, you're what? I don't. And he's like, it's really bad. There's like no cases. He's like, and it just like eats away at your body. I'm like, sounds terrible. I'm like, Googled it. And I was like, yeah, infantile. He's like, yeah, that's what I said. I know. And I think at that point, Richard, right, there was like still a single digit, but it was like 7. Like, that's perspective out of however big the U.S. population was.
I think there's a big lesson here because we got listeners who are caregivers across the country, people who have their own dabbling with the medical world. Like, being a medical professional and admitting that you don't know something, or someone who's trying to become a medical professional, like, I think that that's great. Like, I'm happy to hear that you paused and you asked and Peggy told you, and then you were like, okay, now I got it, and you can do your own research. So props, good. If I don't know something, I will go find out and get back to you, type of thing. So that's good. Cool.
The practice of medicine, right?
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah. Yeah. And I got many stories on that. So Peggy, speaking of this, you know, physical therapy and practice of medicine, like, the Ainsley's Angels family knows you as our rock doc, as Aunt Peg, as Aunt Peggy, as Miss Peggy, as so many people across the family, more people than you know you. Anybody who's ever read Born an Angel, like, it's the first couple pages, talks about that physical therapist named Peggy. Many videos reference those first conversations. What brought you into the physical therapy world, and why do you to this day focus primarily in the pediatric space?
That's really funny. I was thinking about this yesterday. When I was in eighth grade, we had a speaker. One speaker, we didn't have like career day. We had one person come in, and she was a pediatric physical therapist. And she told us what she did. And I don't remember this, but my mother always said that I came home from school that day and said, well, I'm going to be a physical therapist and I'm going to work with children. And that was it. And that was my whole focus from then on. Children, because I don't have a lot of patience with adults. If a child doesn't do their exercises at home, it's not their fault. So if an adult doesn't do their exercises, well, they should have known better. So, but at the time, always been in pediatrics, but almost always had another something on the side. Like, so I've done rehabs, I did a pain clinic, so I've usually had something else that I was doing on the side of my pediatric work.
I thought there was going to be like a complete shocker to me, like, on the side, I was like, she's going to say like a fence business or something, like, that's what I pictured, like, yeah, I do this, but on the side I, you know, have a lawn company. And no, I don't know why. I was like, man, I'm going to learn something crazy here. But you don't have a fence business, apparently.
I wish I had a better story. Sorry.
Well, I mean, it's crazy, like, because you would think it's the opposite, right, of the patience. Like, yeah. I have little patience to begin with, but especially with a 4 and a 6-year-old, I have, like, no patience. So it's crazy that, like, you were able to see the, like, I don't know, the silver lining, or like the difference between the two and why you wanted to work with kids.
That's why I don't have any at home, Joe.
See what she did there. Yeah, how about that? Speaking of kids at home, Laura, you're a mom now. Like, you've been a mom for a couple days now, meaning, you know, quite a while. But you weren't when we first met. How has life changed for you now, having children of your own versus being, you know, a student learning about other people's children's diagnosis?
Well, drastically, my life has changed. I think right before I had Aria, I was like, Rooster, I can't be an ambassador anymore. I don't know how to manage all this. And now I have 3 girls, but I do remember this couple that was younger than me that we saw their son because he had a seizure. Do you remember, Peggy? And I remember feeling so weird to give them advice when I felt like I was just around their age and they had 2 kids, but they were 21 or something. They were really young. And I was trying to tell them about their kid, but I felt like, how am I don't have kids. I just feel weird. And I remember Peggy being like, it's fine. But now, yeah, as a PT, I do really nitpick with their gross motor and fine motor. As Peggy can attest, I have gone to her for both my younger two because they for sure had a little bit of torticollis, which is just a little neck tilt, you know, that you can get from, you know, inside the womb or coming out. And Even though I know how to treat it, I still went to Peggy for those. She remains my go-to for pediatric professional physical therapist. The best.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And there's something special about being, you know, a mentor or a supervisor to people that we mentee or that we supervise, and seeing their growth and seeing their development. And I'm speaking about my relationship with Joe and for Peggy's relationship with you. It's really special to see where those people go and how they continue to thrive and things. But what's even more special to me is being able to stay in touch and having that relationship. So kudos and props to both of you, and congratulations to both of you are having such a beautiful relationship to this day.
Earlier, you know, when we started this, I was thinking, as Peggy was talking about pediatrics, I was like, man, Peggy came over when we lived in Virginia Beach a few times to work with Owen because of that torticollis. When we left the hospital after we got cleared to leave the NICU, they said, hey, you're going to need to see a PT. We have some references. I was like, nope, I got one right here. Very easy to get a hold of. Thank you, but no thanks. You know, I got a rock doc.
Once again, Peggy, like, there's so many people that know of you or that you've worked on, and that you just have no idea your reach. And part of wanting to have you on this podcast was really just to celebrate you and the reach that through just a recommendation one day led to this huge family that the four of us share. That's global. It's just special. So thank you.
You're one of those people that, like, if you don't see or, you know, maintain communication with for a while, but like you see them at the oceanfront after like 2 years, it's like you run up and have a big hug and like, hey, it was great to see you. Cause that happened one of our trips to Virginia Beach, just crossing the street, like, oh, Peggy, big hug. And, you know, it's like just a warm soul for sure.
Yeah. I recognized Leanne and the boys from the back, and I was like, the orths are here. I'm so excited.
That's funny.
Laura, when's the last time you and Peggy had some time to be in the same zip code or in one another's presence?
I did the 2017 Marine Corps Marathon.
That's a great segue. So Joe wanted to tell our listeners about the Marine Corps Marathon, and then I want to jump in and talk about some Marine Corps Marathon stories. So Joe,
I'm going to say you have 7 days. If you want to be on the Ainsley's Angels Marine Corps Marathon charity team, the time legitimately is now. You have 7 days to be able to make this race happen. So email Joe at ainsleysangels.org if you're looking to run or ride, and we can make it happen.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. And it's a sold out race. So the only way to be part of it is to be on a charity team. So why not be on the charity team that is near and dear to your heart? So
and Laura, come meet Peggy. Sorry.
I'll be there.
So Laura, we're out there running this race on the ocean front in 2010. And then we're like, hey, come run on the rock and roll team. And you're like, yay, let's do that. And that was 2010. And then the following year, there's another rock and roll opportunity, but there's also this thing called the Marine Corps Marathon 2011. Do you remember ever running any Marine Corps marathons with Ainsley? And if so, which one comes to mind? What story comes to mind immediately? And for our listeners, Laura's like the only person that's run on like all of the Ainsley's Angels, Ainsley teams, which is kind of really cool. She's actually run Marine Corps Marathon without me, but with Ainsley. So that's a whole nother story. But of all the ones you've done, what story you want to come to here?
Oh, man. I think I would have, well, first, I think the way that even came to fruition was cool. And I don't know if you've talked about how we sat with Dick Hoyt and talked about it at his house in Massachusetts, and him asking you, how long was the drive up here? Because you were saying, I don't know if Ainsley can be in the chair that long and that it would be really uncomfortable. And he said, well, how long was the drive up here? And I don't know, I don't remember how long it is, but he said, all right, so I think she can ride in the chair. Okay, well, I think Dick Hoyt just told us we need to run the Marine Corps Marathon.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah, I mean, he had that accent going on, and, you know, obviously rest in peace, Dick. But the way that he was almost like in our face about it. Like, what do you mean? Like, and so the drive to his house was like 12 hours. The Marine Corps Marathon is like five or less. So he's like, and then he's like, all you have to do is you know, send an email to these people and tell them that I told you so. They literally responded back in like, I think it was 47 seconds. You're approved. Anyway, so yeah, really, really cool how, again, just a conversation leads to this thing that is touching so many lives in such a beautiful way. Is there any moments on the course or specific Marine Corps Marathon Team Ainsley experiences that come to mind?
Man, there are so many. But the one that I did with Joe and Leanne, I remember how you called me and said, I have some bad news. I am injured. I can't run this race. You're going to run it with Joe Orth and his girlfriend, Leanne. And I was like, I don't know them. And I think I even said to my parents, like, Brewster wants me to run with these random people. I don't know about this. And then I get this email from Joe that is an Excel spreadsheet of times with walking time put in. And I was like, Joe, I don't know you, but I don't walk during these races. the thing about that race, though, that is so funny is that as much as I was giving him a hard time, like, I felt amazing after that race. Peggy has seen me not feel amazing after a race, like the Shamrock Marathon, but I felt great with the walk. We ran for 9, and then I think we walked for 1 minute. But anyway, that Excel spreadsheet was hilarious. But anyway.
Right. So I feel like I have to, like, defend myself to a little bit here. Well, a lot of that, the same, like, your same thing about running with strangers type of thing was mutual for sure, because at the time that Rooster made the decision that he can't run was like, I guess, late in the season, you know what I mean? So I had already been planning to push Michael Hackforth, I assume with Leanne, and that's why where the walking came into play. I think it was her first or second marathon. You know, Michael's a big, strong kid. So I made this thing to, like, show her visually, like, it's going to be okay. Like, we're going to do it. And then I don't know how the idea of adding Ainsley, you and Ainsley into the mix happened. There's probably a napkin or something about it somewhere. I think it might be Lori's fault. And I think that's the year that I took a picture of it's Lori's fault on Haynes Point, because there was the conversation about Lori wanted me to push Ainsley in a race. Richard was like, no, I push Ainsley, not Joe. No one. I am Ainsley's father. And she was like, well, Joe can push Ainsley and Leanne can push Michael. And then that's when Leanne was like, yeah, no, that's not going to work for me. So then we figured out this idea of, well, if we have another runner, we can have two riders. And then in came Laura. But I was like, well, I don't know Laura, but, like, I've seen, like, we were like social media friends or something, right? I'm like, this chick is, you know, doing Ironmans and, like, flexing on everything. I'm like, she's gonna crush us. This is gonna be terrible. I'm like, she's gonna laugh at my Excel document, which apparently you did. But yeah, that really was a fun race. It was, I mean, like, the idea of, like, getting to push Ainsley, getting to push Michael. That was a good year for sure. That's definitely one of my top race experiences too.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I didn't run it, right? But it was atop my list too, because it was the first time in my life that I had an opportunity to be on the other side of this whole thing that we call inclusive running. I got to cheer her on, and I had people that Lori and I trusted to the utmost to go out there and just have a 5-hour party with. And that's what y'all did. And we saw you, like you said, we saw you, we were on the bridges, we're holding signs and we're cheering. And at mile 17, you know, we actually all stopped for like 20 seconds and hugs and high fives. And it was so, so cool of a perspective And so I newfound appreciation for what Lori had been doing from 2008 to 2014 as Ainsley's biggest cheerleader. I got to join that team, and that was really, really cool. So thanks for bringing that one up. Really special. And thank you all for crushing the course in 4 hours and 29 minutes with Ainsley. I never thought that she would ever do it faster. I never thought it possible.
But it did get faster. Remember her 100th race? Laura was
there.
That's
right. Laura was there. That's right. Laura, do you remember Ainsley's final race, 100th race, the Marine Corps Marathon? We did 4:28:30. Do you remember that in October
2015? Yeah,
2015. Wow. There's another solid picture of you all, right? The one I got you, it's you and Laura and Ainsley and Brian and Rick. That's a cool shot.
Yeah, it's an awesome picture. In fact, it's the primary picture you see in my garage before you come into my house. So from time to time, I'll send a text on December 7th to Laura and be like, hey.
I know what that date is too. But you gotta you also can't forget about Steve and that team. Joni jumps and does the heel clap that's caught on I think that was the official Marine Corps photographer caught that.
Yeah. It was Camden's godfather, Steve Bowen, was on Team Ainsley that year. The picture, we'll put it on the Together We Shall Instagram page when we post this episode. It's a great shot. Really fun stuff. Peggy, when you look at Marine Corps Marathon every year, you come up to every year and you provide Rock Doc services and have the family reunion. What kind of Marine Corps Marathon memories do you have looking back over the many that you've traveled up for?
Wow. I have a lot. One of the things that I remember most is the first year that Team 2-for-1 came, Vicky and Melissa, and I hadn't met them, but I had talked to them on the phone previously about some issues they were having. And I heard people in the hall, and it was first thing in the morning, and I opened my door, and my room happened to be right next to the room Ainsley was sleeping in. And I opened the door and I saw them and I went out and I said, oh, you must be Vicky and Melissa. And they were like, yeah. I said, I'm Peggy. And they said, oh, so nice to meet you. Is Ainsley here? I said, yeah, she's asleep right over there. And they went, and they just screamed so loud. It was I thought, well, she's not asleep anymore. But I remember that because that just struck me as, wow, we have a little star on our hands and everybody knows her. And I remember being in the stands, they have bleachers and I wanted to see her. And so I shoved my way up the bleachers and I said to this girl, excuse me, I need to be here because I need to be able to see my girl crossing the finish line. And she was like, okay. I said, you don't understand, but it's all right. And I did. I got a picture, but I got the top of her head. But I knew it was her. I could recognize any part of her. So I remember that. I love Marine Corps. It's one of my favorite things ever because you get to see everybody and talk to people that you've only seen on social media and stuff. Marine Corps is one of my favorite things that we do.
And this wasn't even a planned Marine Corps marathon pitch. This is great.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. The episode wasn't even supposed to be about all of that at all. But I guess with all the intersectionality of this, it only makes sense. Of course, Peggy, you were talking about Melissa and Vicky from episode 18 of the Together We Shall podcast. If you're listening to this and you have not heard the story of Team 2-for-1 in episode 18, please give it a chance, which is a decent segue for where I wanted to go. Now, Laura, you have listened to all of the episodes, self-professed. So what is an episode or something that is standing out to you? Maybe something you learned, something oh my gosh, I'm so glad for this podcast, or I'd have never known that. Or maybe just a guest you enjoyed. What do you have for our listeners that aren't as caught up on all 40 episodes like you?
The most eye-opening one for me, honestly, was Lori's. I think both of them. Because like I said, I was this little 25-year-old and I see this mom and she has three kids. One is tagging along for the PT appointments. And one, she is carrying, and Ainsley was not short, you know, and she is just carrying, like, she's this tiny little person, and she picks up her daughter and just kind of like walks straight into the clinic. And and I think one of them was about like people look appearing a certain way on the outside, but maybe not, you know, so much on the inside. And so I think it was cool to listen to Lori's, especially from the caregiver's perspective. And because I did think about that a lot, like how much it was and for her, like how much, like even when you guys talked about getting her ready for a race and she would talk about her getting her hair ready. And she's like, well, first of all, she needs to look cute. So I had to get her up so I could do her hair, things like that. But just, I mean, in all seriousness, just all of the physical, mental, emotional work that it was, I cannot imagine. I could try, you know, but it's like listening to her was, I thought was cool. And because, as you know, Lori is a hilarious person, and she always is, when I've been around her, she's always happy. She's always making jokes. She's just so fun to be around. And anyway, just hearing that perspective was cool. That's what stands out the most. I just think too, it's cool to hear stories of something that I experienced, but it's like, then you hear it from somebody else saying it. Josh, Team Josh, what's his dad's name? David.
Dave.
You guys retold the story of him, of Josh getting his first chair. I didn't really know that whole backstory, but I brought my friends, my JMU field hockey friends, I brought them to that dinner with me. So they saw that, and they saw Sean present the whole summer with Seamus and, you know, Run Across America, and they were like, oh my gosh, he runs that fast? How does Seamus not get wind burn? I thought that was the best comment I've heard about, you know, Team Seamus.
Sean, if you're listening to this, you have got to share what Laura just shared with Seamus. How does Seamus not get wind burned? That is the best. That is good. Episode 4 was when we had Lori on, and she's been on a couple times since then. But I appreciate you sharing that, Laura, because the perspective of the caregiver and the intimacy in which Lori opened up to us in that episode was really, really helpful for quite a few people. We've been contacted, and she's been told how grateful folks are for her showing that level of vulnerability. So, yeah, there's something really special about that. So,
yeah, her being able to open up like that, I mean, we've mentioned it, I'm fairly confident, at least on one of these episodes, right? But, like, the idea that, like, you could say that we wouldn't be here today without Peggy telling you, you know, you to go run on the board. Like, I wouldn't be here today if Leanne never went and talked to Lori at the ball that year. And like, that was one of the, I vividly remember it, like that, like nail biting, like, oh man, what is she going to do? Like, I was like, you can't go talk to her. Like, I don't know. What are you going to say? You know, like, you can't just go up to her and be like, what's with your daughter? You know, and that was a long conversation, if I recall. And like, I feel like Rush and I were like in the background, like, I think it's going good. I think this is gonna be okay.
Just for context for our listeners, like, Joe was I was his supervisor, I was his boss, I was his Marine boss, not his enlisted Marine boss, I was his officer, I was his commanding officer at the company level. And here's Joe's wife, not even wife, girlfriend, just rolling up on the captain's wife to ask questions about the girl in the wheelchair. Yeah. Which Joe talked about in his episode one, The Bromance. He's talked about how much of an impact that's had on his life. And we have told him, Lori said, dude, if you got a question, go ask the caregiver. They want to tell you about their kid. I mean, it's, so if you're listening and you find yourself in a position where you're curious and you're staring a little bit more than you should, go have a conversation. Good gosh.
Yeah. the power of the conversation for sure. And yeah, I mean, I've seen it with you a handful of times with Ainsley, right? Where like you'll notice somebody, you know, looking, you know, and you're like, this is Ainsley, you can say hi. And I've been like, oh God, that's awkward, you know, especially like in the early days of like when I was just getting around, you know, special needs people, you know, and caregivers. Like I remember one time, it was in Jacksonville. We went to a restaurant before, had been Run With Your Heart. And it's when Ainsley had to be in her signature, not her motorized chair anymore. And like, I mean, you know, that thing's 6 feet long, trying to finagle it. And like, we get it in there and like, but you're just like moving tables. You're like pushing there. I'm like, man, he's just a bull in a china shop. But by God, Ainsley's going to sit at this table with us and like made it happen. And people are like, man, what's going on? This big dude just pushing chairs out of the way. And yeah, someone looked and you're like, this is Ainsley. You can say hi. And I was like, oh man, this is just different. And, but it gave me like that, God, that had to have been like 14, 15-ish. That gave me the new perspective too of like, ask about it.
As you're talking about all these like moments of the past, Joe, you know, I can't help but pause and think about like advocacy and how important it is to spread the word of what we're doing. And we go all the way back to Peggy saying, hey, come down and do this local run at the oceanfront. Peggy, through the past 15 years, you've been a heck of an advocate for special needs and inclusive running and all things. Any stories stand out to you?
Yeah, I ride my bike on the boardwalk a lot at the oceanfront. And I keep in my bike basket little postcards because I keep running out of wristbands. I have postcards that have the QR code on them and stuff. And I keep them in my bike basket. And I would say 9 out of 10 rides, I spot someone that I think look like they'd like to go a little faster. And I will stop and force them to take a postcard and say, have you heard of this? You need to do this. This is a good thing. And one day I was walking, I took my bike and I went in a different route than I usually go. And I started the ride later than I had planned. And I know why, because as I was walking into the park, there was a young lady in a bright pink wheelchair with two other people. And I parked my bike and I walked back and I said, hi, how are you? I love your wheelchair. Have you ever heard of Ainsley's Angels? And one of the people said, yeah. I said, well, I have information and I'm going to give it to you. And they were like, yeah, we roll with you in Nebraska, so we know. I was like, oh, okay, great. So now I talk to them online frequently, but
I was so hoping that was the story you were going to tell, because Pam Yates is who you're talking about. And Pam lives out in Nebraska with her daughter. And the crazy nature of the small world we live in where these things collide. I mean, she's not from Virginia. She's from Nebraska. And she's not just from like a big city in Nebraska. It's the middle of nowhere, Nebraska.
It was amazing.
That whole story just speaks to the power of advocating and of having conversation, of spreading the word. Laura, when you left Virginia, you went to South Carolina, you've traveled all over the United States. Now you're outside of the United States. But when you got to California, like you were an ambassador. Like a lot of people don't know that about your journey and your story. You were the Ainsley's Angels in SoCal ambassador. How about that?
Yeah. And I remember having, you know, some frustrations at the beginning where I just felt like, I need to get into this race and I want to do this. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me to go and, when it was kind of just a me team to start, because the original ambassador had moved also, but Shannon, and Tim, who you guys have talked to also. Biggest thing I think was I had such an appreciation for the expos and everything that goes on to put those on, and how you do kind of have to go out of your comfort zone to talk to people. I feel like that's not really a struggle for you, Rooster, but like you know, it was eye-opening to be like, oh man, I have to set all this up. It has to sit out. People have to see these things. And now I have to go talk to people. But also it was definitely worth it because I can remember specific people who I talked to who ended up coming out and running with us and ended up, I believe, are still running out in Southern California.
Yeah, that's so very special because you're right. The things that Shannon started and her now husband, Tim, who was our podcast host, I think episode 25 or whatnot, that you took over. And then when you moved, Robin took over. And then Robin has since passed the torch to Trisha Benton. And SoCal is thriving. Like, they have dozens of riders at every event. They do things from San Diego all the way to Los Angeles to include, you know, the Anaheim A's games and all the half marathons and just really special. I think that speaks to the Together We Shall mindset and attitude that over time, as you plant seeds and as you water those seeds, they will grow. And none of us can do this alone. Together we shall accomplish so much more. So I take a moment just to pause and say thank you, Laura, for taking on the ambassadorship of SoCal almost as a, you might accuse me of like making you do that. Like, yeah, you got to do this. I need you because I've been accused of being aggressive before. But I say thank you.
I say it was a pleasure.
You know, what's really been neat also, Laura, seeing those ambassadorships grow is eventually I've had this honor of seeing, you know, Ainsley's Angels in Madison, Wisconsin, to see my own daughter start an ambassadorship. And just last night, she was on a call teaching the next ambassador as Briley's getting to go to France here. Peggy, you've seen Briley since she was, gosh, 4, 5, 6 years old. How does that make you feel to kind of see this young lady blossom the way that she has?
I don't think I have ever been prouder of a person than I am, of Briley. I love her so much. And she's just a light to anywhere she goes. We were lucky enough to spend a day together recently, which was just so nice. And I said to her, you know, when my sister's kids were little, I really loved them and I wasn't sure I'd like them when they grew up because you never know. And I do. And I said to Briley, can you imagine that you were this little kid and now we are like really good friends and we talk all the time. And I'm just so grateful that she spends time with me and talks to me. And I just love her so much. You did a really good job on all of these children. You really did. But she's so delightful. I just love her so much.
Yeah, it's thank you for the compliment. And yeah, I love her too. And so very proud of her. And of course, Lori, you know, she amazing mother who poured herself into all of these children with all of her energy all of the time. And so it's awesome to be on a team with her raising these children. It's beautiful.
I'm going to give you this quick little story. While I am at work, and I, of course, work with pediatrics, so that's my, you know, that's where I am. I very frequently, even children that I am not working with, will run over and say, you need to go to Ainsley's Angels, go online. This is, and I try to sign people up almost every day. And I had a family I worked with for a while, and it was an aunt and a little boy that she was raising. And we had talked about Ainsley's Angels here while she was in Virginia Beach. And he had had some issues and they weren't able to go through with that. And then I got a text from his aunt one day and she said, we're moving to Madison, Wisconsin. And I said, I have a friend in Madison, Wisconsin. Let me hook you up. And weeks later, I got a text from Briley, and all it said was this you? And I said, yes, it was. I said, you're going to love this kid. This aunt has sent me pictures every time he does a race. She is so happy. She's so excited about it. He giggles the entire time. And so thank goodness she started that in Madison. You know, I don't think we can ever have too many ambassadorships. The more the better.
Yeah, and that speaks to this whole idea of like advocating and continuing to advocate and continuing to be, you know, the role that you all play as physical therapists, that is such an amazing source of information. And the caregivers of the world can attest, like between their OT, their ST, and their PT, just talking about things and resources and just stuff. It's so important. So if you're a PT and you need a nudge to continue to turn your populations onto resources, like let this be your nudge, be the ripple, because it's amazing how far and wide it can reach.
In the pediatric world, there are lots of cancellations because for so many reasons, right? They're sick or they have just another therapy appointment and there's just, you know, too many things on their plates and parents' plates. And anyway, they would cancel and Peggy would be like, should we go get a coffee? Do you wanna, or should we go, or should we go get a smoothie? Do you, oh, you know what? There's this kid that has this going on. I really think that this would be great for him. So we'd go into Five Below, I think, and just, she's so creative. She would just find stuff, be like, I think this will work for this kid. Because, you know, remember how I was having a hard time stopping and then starting and, you know, just little things. But I got so many ideas just because of Peggy, like with adults and pediatrics, just because of the creativity.
That's really cool. And you'd be remiss if we didn't say, like, if you're listening to this and you're hitting a challenge about positioning or some type of thing with your loved one, don't hesitate. I mean, podcast@ainsleysangels.org, we can get that message to Peggy. And when she has time, maybe she can provide some tidbits of information. She's a wealth of knowledge who always seems to have a trick up her sleeve for how we can address something that needs some attention. So, yeah, Peggy, I just volunteered your services to.
You know, I do know, I know a few things, and I mean, I've taken several running courses online, so I have lots of stuff. If I can help anybody, please tell me, because that's what I like to do.
Well, ladies, this was fun. I enjoyed it. Joe, anything on your mind before we give them the last moments to kind of leave our guest with some tidbits?
No, yeah, just again, thank you both for being here. It's been awesome to the decade or whatever of friendships. And, you know, again, shout out to, like Rich said, OTs, PTs across the, you know, globe. You guys are, and girls are awesome. Many thanks.
Indeed. It was fun to watch the lighting get darker for those of you watching on YouTube.
So it's Laura, like bedtime.
Yeah.
Laura's six or seven hours ahead of us over in Norway. So slowly it's gotten darker. Of course, we offer this podcast on YouTube for everybody who might benefit from closed captioning. But nevertheless, Peggy, we're going to give you the first shot at this. What do you want to leave the listeners with on this 15th anniversary of Ainsley's very first race?
You know, I actually thought about this quite a bit. And I think one of the primary things that I hope people understand, I did it with Ainsley. I try to do it with every patient. They understand what you're talking about. They understand how you feel. They understand how you make them feel. And sometimes people working with some, especially I think kids with special needs that aren't verbal, I think that sometimes people forget that they understand us and they know what's going on. And I just, you want to give them hope. That's what we do. And just remember to do that. Be kind to them, but understand that they know what's going on and they appreciate what you do for them. They really do.
Yeah, Laura, good luck following that. But
as we
close out episode 40.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, all right.
Okay.
Way to go, Peggy. But
Well done, Peggy. Great message. Laura, man, as we close out episode 40, what do you want to leave the listeners with?
I think I could piggyback maybe off of Peggy and just, it's kind of been a theme. I think for the whole podcast is to just keep learning. So keep learning about your patient, your kid, keep learning about this podcast has kept me learning because I'm like a movie where I'm hearing, you know, the movies where they show perspective of all these different people. It's like that, but podcast form and real people. So yeah, I would say keep learning. I am kind of at a little standstill with my career right now out here. As you can imagine, it's kind of hard for me to just jump in and start working here. But I'm trying to find as many opportunities as I can in the meantime to just keep learning because there's always something to learn.
You know what? I got enough.
Time. He's in charge.
We're done. This was good.
Yeah, we're done here. The structure of this building has reached its capacity.
Find your people, and if they make you feel sexy, even better.